Good Tuesday morning, I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to your Politico Playbook audio briefing, sponsored by the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association.
And I'm Jake Sherman. A deal has been cut. Our colleagues Sarah Ferris, Heather Cagle, and Burgess Everett have the details on a border deal. Congressional negotiators struck this deal yesterday, and it includes $1.37 billion for physical barriers along the border with Mexico. Remember, the president wanted anywhere between $5 billion and $25 billion, depending on the day. It includes a total of 55 miles, just 9 miles short of Trump's last budget request. Democrats, meanwhile, agreed to drop their demand to restrict the number of people ICE can detain at one time. They also agreed to cut the number of detention beds for ICE by about 17% to a total of 40,520.
The barriers can be constructed in the Rio Grande Valley, a top priority for Customs and Border Patrol. This is three times as much as would be spent in a stopgap bill, per a GOP source. This is also an increase of $1.7 billion in DHS funding, much better than many would have expected year over year. House Appropriations Chair Nita Lowey's assessment came in the Washington Post, where she said, "Some may be happy, some may not be happy. We did the best we could." One person who's not happy is Sean Hannity. He's already panning the deal. Politico's reporting that he said last night, "On this new so-called compromise, I'm getting details. $1.3 billion? That's not even a wall, a barrier. I'm going to tell this tonight, and we'll get back into this tomorrow," he continued. "Any Republican that supports this garbage compromise, you will have to explain."
Newsflash here, the president is not getting a better deal than this. Two things are true. This deal sucks for the president, but it's the best he's going to get. He and Congress have blown every opportunity to get a big, massive wall deal, and now, as some on Capitol Hill like to say, we are where we are. Trump tried a 35-day government shutdown, the longest in history. Democrats stood pat, and the president blinked. Heeding the advice of Jared Kushner, who was riding high from what he seemed to think as a criminal justice reform triumph, the president gave Congress a chance to negotiate for 3 weeks. This is what he got.
Appropriators, the biggest deal cutters in Congress, came up with this compromise, balancing their needs and desires to those of the leadership and the advice of the White House. Democrats control Congress at this point, and there isn't much Trump can do about that. The president isn't getting anywhere near $5 billion for his border wall. But $1.375 billion is pretty good, all things considered. If you talk to some of the president's level-headed advisors and allies, they will say he should sign this and then go look to reprogram more government money for a wall. Hardly a sure thing, but it will give him something to do and talk about.
The big question we have is it time for a dare? The president has never vetoed a bill and threatened it just a few times. Once, when presented with an omnibus spending deal, he backed off. And in December, Paul Ryan and Congress backed off when the president threatened a veto. If he saber-rattles this time, he'll likely have the chance to threaten yet another veto. Barring something unforeseen, Speaker Nancy Pelosi is going to put this on the floor, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has indicated he'd put a bipartisan deal on the floor. Congress might just have to dare the president to issue a veto with the government shutdown hours away. The Washington Post is reporting that Mark Meadows is not pleased with this deal. That's no surprise. So far, the president, speaking with Laura Ingraham on Fox News last night, was noncommittal.
And here was the line of the night. Trump on Democratic investigations. He told Ingraham, "I didn't know we had so many committees. I think it's up to 79 letters. This is based on no information of any wrongdoing because I'm a very straight person." And for your radar, Defense News is reporting that Speaker Nancy Pelosi has been named to a U.S. delegation to a Munich forum, which they write would be striking for Pelosi and show Dems using their majority to assert themselves on foreign policy. Our colleague David Siders was in El Paso, Texas, and writes with Anita Kumar on Beto O'Rourke taking on the president with a competing rally.
Our colleagues Nancy Cook and Ileana Johnson write that the White House Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney is readying a plan to redirect unspent federal funds to further fund Trump's border wall. This is a less dramatic step than declaring a national emergency. Andrew DiSiderio and Burgess Everett report that Republicans are upset with Trump for disregarding a law requiring Congress to issue a report that would name who is responsible for murdering Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi.
Melanie Zanona and Heather Cagle have the latest on the Ilhan Omar dustup. The Minnesota Democrat has apologized after Pelosi denounced her tweet as anti-Semitic. And on the 2020 front, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is headed to New Hampshire as he contemplates a run for president. And there are a slew of Kamala Harris stories. CNN is reporting that Harris took questions about her blackness, and they also report that she supported San Francisco's 2008 policy that reported arrested undocumented juveniles to ICE.
Senator Cory Booker will be live on set with Rachel Maddow tonight. Every Democratic presidential candidate so far, it seems like, has gone on Maddow. Here's what's on tap for Trump's Tuesday. His first public appearance will come at 11:30 when he holds a cabinet meeting. He will then meet with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo at 2:15 in the Oval Office. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.